All right, how are we doing today? We doing good?
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready to hear what God has to say to us today?
Yeah,
good, 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 good. How many are Rams fans? Let me see Rams fans in the house. Good, 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 good. How many are Patriots fans? Let me see Patriots fans. I see one lady in the front row. There you go. Good, good. Well, three. There you go. Thank you. Well, you say who? I already told you who's going to win. Could you sit right there? Yeah. Thank you. I already told you who's going to win. Whoever scores the most points. Amen. So, you know what? The Lord laid something on my heart this week that I want to share with you. Can you get the, yeah. that I want to share with you. And how many know we're still in the beginning of the year? And there's certain keys that will make our year. How many are looking to have a great year this year? How many of you are looking to, perfect, how many are looking to have a better year than you had last year?
Yeah.
Okay. And what we said, yeah, just bring it right here. You can flank me on the left and right. Perfect. Yeah. So here's the deal. How many of you, I asked you this last week, but I want to ask you this again. How many of you, and be honest, have the same resolution for 2017 or 2018 and 2019, hello? You understand what I'm saying? How many every year you're like, oh, I'm going to lose some weight this year. I'm going to get in shape this year. I'm going to get out. How many have the same resolution? You have this repetitiveness about your resolutions. Raise your hand if that's you. Okay, let me think about it a little bit more, okay? And for us to get old, for us to have a new resolution next year, not the same as this year, how many know we got to do some things different? And to do something different, how many know how we have to think different? Somebody say think different. If we don't think different, how many know you don't nothing changes. Nothing changes until you change. Oh, that's good. Write that down, somebody. Nothing changes till you change, amen? And you don't change till you start thinking differently, amen? You know, how many of you, be honest, how many of you have the same haircut that you've had for the last 10 years? Raise your hand if you have the same haircut. You know what? You're like, hey, you know, that's, you know what, how I got it, man. That's what it is, what it is. Or no haircut, kind of. But whatever it is, you know what? I was in, Tamarie took me shopping the other day. She saw my jeans on Wednesday. And she said, Drew, something, that this was the Wednesday before that. And she said, Drew, something is the matter. You know what I mean? You're just drooping all over the place. She said, my wife is so gracious. She said, I'm not trying to, it's not attractive. You know what I mean? So we go to Old Navy and we're picking out some jeans, and I thought, you know what, when I was in high school, I used to wear white jeans. I liked white jeans, but I used to always get them all dirty all the time. You know what I mean? And you know, so she said, what about those white jeans? You want some white jeans? I said, I'm gonna try some white jeans. How many know I already got my white jeans dirty today? But all I'm saying is, most of us, we do the same things because we think the same ways. Does that make sense? And so I want to, the Lord just spoke to me this week and said, you've got to share this with them. Because this is so jugular to you walking in the victory that God wants you to walk in. Amen. All right. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Go like this. Go, oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So, yeah. Yeah, sure, yeah. See, brother, did I tell you she's visual? Brother,
yes, sir.
Did I tell you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see, he asked me, he said, where should I put those chairs? I said, I don't really know. You kind of got to ask my wife because she's going to know exactly where's a good place for them. All right, that's good. That's better. That's better, huh?
Yeah, that's better.
All right. My sermon title today is Don't Miss Today. Somebody say, don't miss today. Psalm 91:12 says, teach us how short our life is so that we may become wise. See, today is the day, the Bible says, of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, meaning wholeness. Today is the day that God wants to make you whole. Somebody say today. Today is the day that you need to start, you know what, acting like you used to act, you know what, when you were started dating your wife. Today, amen. Today is the day. Ladies, today is the day that when your husband comes in, you know what, from the rain, that you go up to him and just give him a smack right on the, right, not on the cheek, right on the lips. Amen. Amen. Today. Somebody say today. Today is the day. You know what? In couples, so many of them are waiting for the other couple to move. It doesn't make any difference. Listen, stop acting like that. Stop. We'll look at it in a minute. It's not your position to your wrath. The Bible says the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. It's not your position. And many times, because of hurts that we've had, we position ourselves to act a certain way. And I don't know whom I'm speaking to, but the Holy Spirit is saying to you, stop it. Stop it. Today is the day. Today is the day that you would start to, you know what, stop living in the past and stop living in the future, but recognize today is the day that God wants to bless you. These are dollies for the chairs. And you're supposed to put four of the chairs on a dolly. This is the sweet spot. This is the place where it doesn't mess up the chairs. You can move, you know, you don't have to move one chair at a time, but this is the sweet spot. How many know this is not the sweet spot? This, you know what, it's smashing the chairs. I'm going to have I can't see. You know what, I don't know where I'm going. You know what, it's heavier. It's harder to figure out the tilt on it. It's a mess. When I was in the grocery store in Newport Beach, I was a box person, and I wanted to get promoted. There was a big difference in pay between the box help and the clerks. And so I wanted to get promoted. So I would help. I would run, you know what? I wouldn't just walk. I'd run to get a price check. You know what? I was a very diligent worker. And whenever they asked me to do something, I remember one time the night crew guy said, hey, somebody called in sick. You know, can you help us? And he said, Drew, do you know how to make an end cap? Well, here was the true answer. No, I've never made an end cap in my life. You know what I mean? But I didn't tell him no. I said, do you know how to make an end cap? I said, yeah, man. How to make an end cap. You know what I mean? been here for a whole 6 weeks. Of course I know how to make an end cap. And so he wheeled out a bunch of these boxes and said, okay, you know what? I want, you know, make this end cap here. And you know what? I was trying to look at other end caps, you know, trying to figure it out. And he comes back to me in about 10 minutes and he goes, you don't know how to make an end cap, do you? No, I don't know how to make an end cap. That was a bad day, but let me tell you what was a really bad day. So in some grocery stores, they'll fill the milk from the back. But this was an old school grocery store, so you had to wheel out, you know what? You had to wheel out all the milk, you know what, out to the front, and you filled it from the front. Well, the guy had just wheeled all the milk out, and it was time to close down. It was full, but he wheeled out more milk than he needed. And there was a whole full stack of milk, gallons, about this high. And he said, hey, Drew, he's just looking for, you know, hey, Drew, can you help me? What did I say? I'm looking for a promotion. Oh, yeah. And, you know, later on, I, you know, had just years of experience. But at that point, I didn't have no years. You know what I mean? I probably did that like 3 times. But this was a whole stack of gallons. And I went like this. And there was a place going in to the milk box. And it kind of came up and came down. They didn't make it smooth. And I could, later on, I could do it. But that night, I couldn't do it. And I went like, and I saw him, and it goes like this, and I push it to get it over the thing, and of course, then I overcompensate, and it starts to go forward. You, Pastor, what did you do? I froze, you know what I mean? And the guy who I was helping, because he wants to get out on time, he's behind me, and he tries to save it, and I'm almost in his way to save it. Boom! And almost every single gallon broke. And we spent like the next 2 hours cleaning up milk. Why? Because, you know what? I wasn't in the sweet spot. Do you understand? In baseball, if I had a bat, there's a place and you could swing as hard as you want. But if it's too close to your hands, you know what? You're not going to hit the ball with any power. If it's too at the end of the bat, same thing. But there's a place in the middle. It's called the sweet spot. And when you connect in that sweet spot, if you, even in a bat, if you're too high, it's going to pop up. If it's too low, it's just going to be a grounder. But if you hit it in the sweet spot, I'm telling you what, that ball is going to fly out of the park. Do you know in Christianity there's a sweet spot? You know what the sweet spot is? Somebody say the sweet spot is today. The sweet spot is today. Today is the day that God wants to communicate to you. Today is the day that God wants to have relationship with you. Today is the day that he wants you to be content. Today is the day that he wants you to forget what was behind us. Today is the day. And what we do is we say, and to some extent, there's nothing wrong with saying it. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, 2019 is going to be my best year ever. 2019, God is going to heal my marriage. 2019, my kids are going to come back to serve God. 2019, you know, I'm going to receive my healing. There's nothing wrong with saying that. But can I tell you something better to say? What's better to say is, today I'm going to receive what God has for me today. Amen. See, today is the only day, listen to me, today, really, today is the only day that you have. Do you know this? Today's the only day that you have. Luke 6:11, you know what? You know it. Give us this, what? Day, our what? Our daily bread. God is saying, the apostles are going to Jesus and saying, how should we pray? How do you want us to communicate to the Father? And this is what Jesus says. Here's how I want you to communicate to the Father. I want you to communicate to the Father that every day you need him. That's what he's saying. Give us this day our daily bread. One version says, give us our necessary bread that we need today. That's what God wants you, to be dependent on him today. That's the only thing you have. The only decisions that you're going to make for good or for bad will be made today. Do you understand that? You say, yeah, but what about the decisions that I make tomorrow? Well, watch this. The decisions that you're going to make tomorrow aren't going to be tomorrow. What are they going to be? They'll be, you know, we'll say it to this, that we can understand it, that we can communicate what I'm saying. The decisions that you make on Monday is going to be tomorrow. And when you're in tomorrow, what day is tomorrow going to be? It's going to be today. You can't, how many know you can't make decisions tomorrow? How many know you can't make decisions tomorrow? You can only make decisions, what? Today. Now, listen to me. I understand that decisions you'll make today will have huge consequences for tomorrow. I understand that, and I believe in that. I said it last week. James Clear wrote a book called Atomic Habits. And James Clear, in his book, in Atomic Habits, says that that goals don't work. Oh, Pastor, I read that most people, you're supposed to write your goals down. Listen what James Clear says. He says, goals don't work, systems work. God, teach us how short our life is so that we might become wise. You know how you live your life? You live your life in days. You want to have a blessed year? Then you know what? You need to have blessed months. You want to have blessed months? You have to have blessed weeks. You want to have blessed weeks? You have to have blessed days. Do you understand? You can't make decisions for tomorrow. But what we do so often is we live in every place except where God wants us to live. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4 says this, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day. Somebody say every day. That I might test them whether they will walk in my law or not. God is providing for the Israelites, and he's providing for them. But here's what he provided for them. He provided this stuff, and they called it manna. It was kind of a breadish kind of thing. And they could take it, it would come in the morning, and they could go out and they could take as much of it as they wanted, listen to me, for the day. Can I tell you what? God is not only training them, but God, who knows we're going to read, you know what, the Bible, is training us. And he's training us, and how is he training us? He's training us to say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to trust in God for today. I remember a good pastor friend of mine when Shayla was first born, and he said this to me. He said, you know what, Drew, don't worry about when Shayla's, you know what, a teenager. Don't worry about when she's in junior high. Don't worry about any of that. And he said, don't worry about that stuff, because when you do, you don't have the grace for her right now when she was an infant in junior high. And you can sit there, and many men do, some even godly men do. And they worry about their kids, they worry about their businesses, they worry about their future, boom, boom, boom. But he said this, he said, God has done this for all of my kids. He had five kids, and he said this, God has done this to every single one of my kids. God has given me grace to trust that I was going to raise them right today. Today. It was a great lesson that I learned. And I didn't get ahead of myself. You know what? Well, that's what God is trying to teach them. And God is showing them a test. He's testing them. Do you know God tests you? So how do you know that? Because the Bible just said he did. The Bible says it again. You know what? That God tests Abraham. God puts tests and he wants us to pass those tests. Amen. He's given us what we need. He's given us the instruction. All we have to do is just do what he says. What did he say? Here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to get to the place where you start saying, "Ooh, I don't know if God will provide for me tomorrow." So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take more of this manna. I'm going to take 3 days in advance of what I need. And what happened is the Bible said when they did that, you know what? The manna would start to rot. It would start to stink. Can I tell you what? When we get ahead of God, when we start to worry and say, "Oh, what's God going to, I don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen." You know, for some of the students, you know what? What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know after you graduate what's going to happen. Here's what I know. Here's what I know. That God has placed you in a place that he wants you. You've been obedient to him. Here's all I want you to do. Let's just serve God today. Amen. Can you all say amen? Can we just serve God today? Man, God will take care of us. God will take care of us. You say, "Yeah, but Pastor, what about planning for the future? What about planning for the future?" Well, let me talk to you a little bit about that. You say, "You know what? You always throw up the outdoor project. You're talking about the outdoor project. And, oh, awesome, man. Someday we're going to walk outside. Someday soon. You know what? You're always talking about this." Yes, I'm casting vision. It's important. But notice what I don't do. I'm happy y'all here today. Amen. I'm like, "Ooh, I don't walk around. Ooh, well, Pastor, what are you bummed out about?" Well, if we just had the outdoor project, it would be so much better if it was done right now. We'd get out. Look at the rain. It's so cool. We could be outdoors in the rain. It would be so awesome. Are you kidding me? I'm so sad because it's not. No, I'm happy. Amen. Amen. I'm happy today. I'm happy you're here today. I'm happy we have this South Sanctuary. You know what? When back in the day, when Tam and I first started pastoring here, she would stay home with the kids on Wednesday. You know what? I'd come to Bible study. And when I come to Bible study, there was one lady. Somebody say one lady.
One lady.
Oh, maybe you can help me remember her name. Laverne Blakely. Remember Laverne Blakely? Woman of God, man. Awesome woman of God. But she was getting up there, amen? But she would show up on Wednesday. "Pastor, what do you do?" I'd say, "Come into my office. There's plenty of room," amen? And she would come in my small little office, and we would sit down, and we would have a Bible study. Well, what were you expecting? I was expecting more. But when I was expecting more people than just one person show up. But when Laverne showed up, I didn't go, "Oh, is this you? Man, you came here last week, you know what I mean? No, no, I was happy that she was there, amen? And Laverne would say the same things over and over and over again. The same kind of, she had little sayings, you know what? "You can't tell the book by its cover," you know what I mean? And every week she'd tell me, "Pastor, you know, you can't tell a book by its cover." There was never one week that I said, "Oh, Laverne, are you kidding me? You've said that every day. I know." I never did that. Listen, I never did that, and I never thought that. You know what I thought? I thought, man, God bless this lady. She's absolutely right. You can't tell a book by its cover. Isn't that true? And I love when she said it. It was something that God placed in, it was a revelation that God placed in her heart. And it was important. It was important to me. We get in this place where we're always thinking, you know what, when I get there, when I get that, when I accomplish that, that's when, no, today is the day for you to rejoice in the Lord. Today is the day for you to give him his praise. Today is the day, you know what, that you can thank God. You know what I mean? Yeah, but my car, you know what, my car, hey, well, praise God you don't have a bike today. Amen? Does that make sense? No, you've got plenty to praise God for today. Hebrews chapter 13, starting with verse 12. And I'm gonna read these passages, and then I'm going to go break it down for you. Starting with verse 12, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from a living God. But exhort one another daily. Oh, there it is. Do you see that? Yeah. Exhort one another what?
Daily,
while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're going to tie all this together in a minute. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now, that is a key passage. And that is a passage referring to the Israelites and their not willing to trust God. But I want to tie this all together, what was really going on in their hearts. Verse 16, for who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, those whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter the rest, but those who did not obey? Now listen to this final scripture. But we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Wow. So, Pastor, wait a minute. I don't understand. Are you talking about the importance? I don't know what your message is. Because first you started talking about today is the day. Today is the day. How important it is that we rejoice today. And now you're talking about really a lack of faith and a lack of obedience. How are you tying the two together? Well, let me tie the two together. Because I want you to see what they were doing. The Israelites were so busy looking at the past that it hindered them to their future. They never could see the day because they were too busy whining and looking back at your past. Now, I'm going to say two things about looking back in your past. One, don't look at your past with eyes of grandeur. With eyes of good old days. I'm talking about the BC days before Christ in your life. Remember, and you'd get all drunk, and you'd get all high, and you'd get all crazy, and you'd sleep with all kind of people, and you'd do all, no, I'm sorry. This is for the people watching on the internet. That's. Okay. Listen to me. It's a trick of the enemy. The Bible says they were complaintive because they looked back at the onions and the leeks. Amen. I told you guys you like onions. That's evil. That is evil. Onions are evil. I told you guys onions are evil. Okay, but the truth is onions aren't evil. What was evil is them, listen, longing for the day that they were in bondage. Listen to me. I don't know who this is for. Don't long for the days that you are in bondage. It's a trick of the enemy. And he'll remind you only of the good times. And those good times were hardly none. What does he want you to do? He wants to get you back in bondage. The other group of people who look in the past are the people who are looking at hurts. How many have been hurt? Raise your hand if you've been hurt. Okay, if you don't hands up, you know what? I'll talk to you about where liars go in a little bit. See, how many know we've all been hurt? We've been hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt. And what we do is we play this hurt. I've told you this before, but my kids, they can, you know what? I've sat there where Tyler and Angel are just going through, you know what, all the dialogue of the Grinch. You know what? Why? Because they played it over and over and over again. There's some of you, and there's been a hurt time in your life, and you played it over again. and you played it over again, and you played it over, and I don't know why. It's part of your, it's part of iniquity. It's part of the junk inside of us. But you know what? It's like, we kind of like going over that. You know what I mean? We just feel like, you know what? Yeah, they hurt me. And there's something that our flesh likes about going over it. Let me tell you what. Your spirit isn't ever calling you to put that reel back on the rerun. It's not ever. That's not the spirit of God. That is not the spirit of God. The spirit of God. You know what? Let me tell you what. You ever gotten in an argument with your husband or wife? You know what I mean? And like, and you know what? You had to go to work. You're at work. And you're driving to work. And you're thinking, oh, man, I should have said this. Ooh, I should have said that. This would have been good. Can I be honest with you? That's not God. Amen. That's not God part of you. That's a flesh part of you. Amen. That's not God. That's a yuck. That's junk. You know what I mean? Ooh, I should have, you know, I'm going to just, you know what? No, that's, or you know what? Or they, you know what? Can I tell you what? It's not the sweet spot.
Oh, there is sweet spot again.
And you're going to get burned. You know, not forgiving somebody is like taking poison yourself and thinking they're going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to hurt them. No. You're not hurting them. You're hurting you. Are you learning something today? And what they're doing is they're looking in the past with this fondness, watch this, and we all do this, and they're looking in the future with a lack of faith. That's what they're doing. This is, to God, this is gross. Can I tell you what? When you and I don't trust, a lot of people don't say this because we're like, I don't know, you know, we're afraid to say it. But whenever we don't trust in God, that's gross. That's offensive to God. Because let me tell you about God. God has never let us down ever once.
That's right. Amen.
Let me tell you about God. Listen, stop lying about God. Now, sometimes I can't explain everything. But I guarantee you, it's not God's fault. When we get to heaven, you know what we're going to find out? We're going to find out that God was a good God. We're going to find out all the stuff that we connected the dots and say, well, if God loved me, I want man, all this stuff. And it's all, and you know what it's all going to go back to? None of it's going to go back to God. All of it is going to go back to, I love you guys. I love you guys. It's all going to go back. And when I say you, I mean me too. It's all going to go back to you or some other crazy person in your family.
Yeah.
Amen. Or somebody, or some other crazy person on your block, or some other crazy person. I'm saying some other crazy person. You know what? In LA County, or some crazy person in Los Angeles, in Los Angeles, or some other crazy person. You know, up in Sacramento. Can you say amen to this? It's not God. You know, you want to talk about God? You look at Adam and Eve and what they experienced in the garden. That is the will of God. And that's why Jesus came to restore us back to that state.
Amen.
And these, can we come in agreement that how, and I'm setting y'all up right now. Can we come in agreement how disgusting it was that the Israelites who've been given manna would complain and not trust God about anything? You know what they said? They said, why has God brought us out here to kill us and to kill our kids? I did tell you I was setting you up. Is that disgusting? Is that disgusting? Can I ask you what? How come we question God in his character in taking care of us? That's the question for today. Well, I don't do. No, you do that when you worry. You do that when you think, you know what? You do that when you think, well, I can't forgive, or I can't give. I can't do this. I have to tend to myself. God never intended for you to take care of yourself. never intended that to happen. He intended that he was going to take care of you. That's what he intends. And when the Israelites were doing it, God's like, oh my goodness. Let me tell you why they're not going to enter the promised land. Not because of me, but because over and over and over again, they wouldn't put their trust in me. Can I tell you what? Can I tell you what God's plan for you in 2019 is? That you would walk in the promised land. That's his will for you. But how do you walk that out? You're going to walk it out by making good choices today. People, you know what? People get on me for always talking about finances. But I'm just telling you, as I sense the Holy Spirit go there, what can I do? I got two choices. Can I tell you the choices I got? Either just don't say anything and walk in disobedience, which I'm not going to do. I love you too much. You know what? Or just tell you what I feel God's saying. And you know what? Just hope that you're going to receive it and understand that the only reason I tell you these things is because I love you. Amen? But when we keep the 10% that God says is his in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, when we keep that, what we are saying with our action, which how many know that speaks a lot louder than your words, when we're saying, you know what, I can't trust God, I have to. Listen, I've told you this before. The tithe isn't 10%. The tithe is 10% that you give first. That's the tithe. Why? Because if I am paying all my bills, and after it's all done, then I say, oh, yay, I have 10% left over. I'm going to bring in the tithe. How many of God says, what is that? I'm just asking, do you think God would be any less frank to you than he was with his Israelites? Can I tell you why they didn't walk in the promised land? Because they didn't put their trust in God. Because they didn't put their trust in God, they wouldn't do what he says. And so we have a choice today. And God is saying, get your eyes off of the past. I don't care what you did. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care what you did. I don't care what, thank you. I don't even care what anybody did to you. Can I tell you what? The love of God supersedes anything that anybody has done to me. Amen? Amen. You know, people have said some harsh things to me. You know what? And stuff filters around. You know what I mean? Oh, you know, where'd you hear that? I didn't think you were going to. Hey, listen. If you think I'm not going to hear things, that's fine. But understand this. Understand two things. That by your words, you're going to be justified, and by your words, you're going to be condemned, number one. Number two, you know what? Understand that you don't speak anything that it's not written down. What, you think you're going to hide? Ooh, God can't see me. He can't see me. I'm talking about pastor and his wife. God can't hear me. Come on, that's craziness. That's like the third grader. Remember the third grader? But remember the three-year-old playing hide and seek? You know what I mean? And he's like, oh, you know what? Oh, you can't see me. Please, really? Come on, really? No, and listen, and you holding bitterness in your heart is a sin. Yeah, but pastor, they've done this over and over and over again. Oh, okay. So you don't know that passage that says if they come to you asking for forgiveness, that you're obligated to forgive them as many times as they come to you asking for forgiveness? Do you know that passage? Why is God telling you that? Because he wants to irritate? No, he wants you to be free. He knows. How many would raise their hand and say, the person that hurt me the most is probably the person that hurt me several times? Can I tell you who it probably, I'm not prophesying, there's a high likelihood that that's probably your spouse or a parent. And God says, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You listen, you if you're constantly living in that past, Satan has got control. And you're going to be in bondage. And you're never free because you're never free for today. Amen. Today is a good day. Amen. Today is the day. It's, you know what? Today, this is the sweet spot. Not over here. Not worrying about what happened in the past. Oh, I got to worry about, you know what? What you did to me in the past. What, you know what? What God's not going to do in the future. Listen, God loves you. God says to you, look at the sparrow. He took care of the sparrow. You know, takes care of the grass, takes care of the plant. All this stuff get taken care of. And they're here today. And God, how much more will he care for you? Then, you know, when he says, oh, you of what? Little faith. Man, put your trust in God. Yeah. Today is the day. What are you going to do today? Listen, before you get up in the morning, before your feet hit the floor, here's what all of our prayer should be. And I'm not saying that you don't have a 20-minute or 30-minute or 15-minute prayer time, you know, a devotion. I'm not saying that. I'm saying before you get up and go potty, amen? Somebody say amen to this. You know what? Here's what you should say. It's just a short prayer, but it says, God, thank you for today. Amen. Thank you for my opportunity. Listen to me. I'm dependent upon you today. Today, God, provide for me. I expect, God, I anticipate that you're going to provide for me. I thank you, you know what, for my awesome wife. I thank you for my awesome kids. I thank you for my church. I thank you for my life. I give you praise today, and I believe that you're going to bless me today, and I'm going to bless you today because today is the only day that I can bless you. Today is the only day that I'm able to smooch my wife. Amen. Today is the only day that I'm able to get her some coffee. I can't get coffee from my wife tomorrow. No, yes, you can. No, I can't. Because tomorrow is going to be today. Amen. I can't get her coffee for tomorrow. I can only do it today. You can only praise God today. You can only give him thanks today. You can only, but listen, every day, and there's people, and they're constantly looking in the past and looking in the future. Look at, oh, someday, when I get here, when I make that, when that happens, when, as soon as, you know, I'll tell you what, the church is going to be awesome as soon as we have the outdoor project. No, the church is going to be awesome when we have the outdoor project, but the church is awesome today, amen. Today is the day to give him praise. Today is the day to be grateful. Today is the day that God wants to say, you know what, I can do. We cannot live and say, you know what, and it's something at the beginning of the year, I thought, oh my goodness, I got to share this with the church family because, you know what, we get stuck in the same places that other people get stuck in. And it's in the past of thinking about what they did to us. It's a future. Oh, someday, if this just happens, then I'll be happy. No, won't you be happy like I was with Laverne Blakely? You know what, in my office. Giving, thanking God. What did you do? I'd go home. Thank God. I mean, thank God Laverne showed up. Amen. So what if you didn't show up? I'd preach to myself. Amen. I'd do that anyway. Amen. I'd go home. I'd say, honey, man, it was an awesome sermon today. It was good, man. God really blessed us. I mean, me. Why? Because I made up my mind. You know what? Some of us are getting older and older and older, and our life is passing us by. Amen. Some of you young and already you have things to regret. Listen, we don't have time for that. We can't waste our time doing this stuff. This is a waste of time. And you say, yeah, but let me talk to you about your future. You know what? You make good decisions today and good decisions tomorrow. Good decisions when it's tomorrow today. And then make good decisions every single day. Good choices, good life. Yeah. Amen. But you can only make those choices today. Today is the day. Today is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to be glad in it. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't. Huh? You're here. Amen. You're here. Amen. Yeah, but you're. But you're not smoking a joint now. Amen. Amen. Right? You're not freaking out. You're not spazzing out now, right? Right? Do you understand? See, if we'd start to enjoy, I got up this morning early, you know what? And I encourage you, just spend some time with God. Just get away from it. Just spend some time with God. It'll be the best time in your life. And I'm not saying it'll be the best time in your life right away. Because you know what, some of us, I for me it was true, I trained my flesh so much to love the flesh that when I started getting up and spending time with God, it was hard. Because I was like, I don't want to do this. But it was just, listen to me, it was just because I was so stupid. Trust your pastor, you know what I mean? Just hang out with God for 15 minutes. Just get up 15 minutes early. Hang out with God. You know what? You know, if you pray in the Spirit, if you pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Well, I want to pray in my. You do whatever you want. Just hang out with God. But I would encourage you to pray in the Spirit. Why? Because you can pray in the Spirit. You pray perfectly. Amen.
Amen. That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many hearing what God is saying to them? Today is the day. And what happens is you spend some time with God, and he's the one who's going to tell you all this wisdom and guidance, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, we have a pen and just write it down. And all of a sudden your day is guided by God. And now your day is going to, one day with God, and then another day with God, and then another day with God, and then another day with God. And you turn around and you go, wow, man, I'm starting to get it together. Amen. And you are. And I don't mean you. I mean you and God start to get it together. You know what? What, you're going to go out in Barnes & Noble and read a book on, you know what, how to get smart? There ain't enough books in both of your. It ain't going to happen. Amen? Sweetie. Actually, let me do one thing first. If you want to come into the family of God, I'm going to pray with you a short prayer. I'm just going to pray this. I'd ask that you repeat it after me. And if you meet it in your heart, God will come into your heart. God will change you from the inside out. You know, I'm going to get it all together first. No, you're not. You're going to get it together from the inside out. God's going to help you. But if you want to come into the family of God, if you want to be a Christian, today is the day. Say this with me. God, I invite you into my heart. I repent for running my own life. I want you to be Lord. Come in my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we believe if you were sincere when you said that prayer, that Jesus came in your heart. We believe that God will change you from the inside out. You know what? Start coming to church. Start coming to Hope. Start coming to Hope every Sunday and every Wednesday. And allow me to start teaching, me and my wife, to start teaching you the Word of God. Amen. How many glad you came today? Say this. Put your finger up like this. Put your finger up like this. Say, Pastor, I only have today. But then go like this. Come on, like this. But I got today. Amen. Tamara. Sweetie.
Sorry. Yeah, indeed. Indeed. It's good to be on the winning team. Amen.
Pride comes before a fall.
We'll see. I want to, as Pastor was preaching and he was talking about the fact that the Lord quickened me that in Psalms, it says that God daily bears our burdens. Amen. He daily bears our burdens. Not weekly, not monthly. There's this daily thing that is so prominent throughout the Word of God, that we would get a hold of that, and this to just be trusting in Him. There's so much. If we would wake up each morning, good morning, Lord, just make Him more there. Begin to be way more conscious of Him. Begin to address Him more throughout our day, that we would make sure that we're dependent on that. As these chairs were sitting up here, I remember, and many of you know this and some of you don't, but I remember when we were believing God for chairs. We wanted chairs, we needed chairs, we had pews. The pews were super old, so they weren't very comfortable because the cush was all gone out of them. And when you have pews, you just can't put as many seats as you can with chairs. And so we were, we had put that, you know, we were just trusting God that He would provide chairs for us. And so we had taken up an offering from the congregation at that time, and I don't remember numbers super good, but $400 was what we were able to have the congregation participate with. And we needed over, we needed about $19,000 for the chairs. And I worked for a gentleman whose friend, I find out as we've got this on our prayer list, and we're thanking God every day for these chairs, and I have picked out the type of chair that I want, and I'm ready. You know, and I got a business quote from the company. It was a chair company out Ontario Way called Bertolini, and so I'd gotten a price quote, and I picked out the fabric, and I knew which chair style we wanted. We had it all ready to go. And then I find out that my boss knows the guy who owns Bertolini. And I'm like, oh, look at there. Hey, Drew, guess what? You're not going to believe this, but da-da-da, you see how God's going to get us our chairs? It's going to be so cool. And so I had it all figured out that God was going to bless us with chairs through the relationship I had with my boss, and he just happened to know, and that's all going to somehow make it around, and then they're going to find out about the need and give us some chairs. So as we're kind of waiting on that to happen, we go to a prayer breakfast in the city one day, and God said to me as we began eating our lunch, and Pastor Drew was to my left, and there was a pastor from the city to my right that was an acquaintance, I would say. I didn't really know him. Pastor Drew knew him better. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, ask him if he'd like to give you some money from their missions fund for your chairs. I was horrified. At first I thought, first of all, they got a smaller church than we do. And so how much? I mean, I need $19,000. Our congregation was able to muster up $400. What in the world is going to come from this? And how embarrassing. I don't even know this guy. And I'm going to ask him if he could give some money for us to buy chairs. So I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. And He said, ask Him. So I'm sitting there, and sure enough, He says, so how's everything going at Hope, Tamara? And I said, well, pretty good. You know, actually right now we're trying to get chairs. And I begin to explain to him why we want these chairs. And I said, perhaps you might like to give from your missions fund and help us buy those chairs. I mean, just right out. And I could feel Pastor Drew swing around in his chair. I won't even look that way because I know he's just thinking, what is she doing? And so I said, perhaps you'd like to help us with that. And then he was chewing, you know what I mean? And it was like the longest moment, you know how that is. So nonetheless, I ended up from that encounter with him. What came from that is less than 3 weeks or a month later, I don't know what it was, it was quick, I had a check for $19,000 and some change, whatever we needed. And so here's what I want to point out, because many of us have heard that testimony before. God, I love that. I hated that day because it was so uncomfortable and I so did not want to do that. That has become one of my favorite days in my life. Why? Well, because God like parted the Red Sea. You know what I mean? Because I heard him, I obeyed him, and he was faithful and came through. And he showed me that my source is in him. He knows things that I couldn't even begin to know. They didn't give me the money from their church. Their church couldn't afford that any more than our church could afford it. And I didn't just, that encounter, I didn't just get the chairs. That encounter ended up being this road of blessing for Hope Community. Because of that same day, we have a Hope van. Because of that same day, we've had one, two, three, four or five Hope Stamps interns, where this nonprofit pays us so that we can pay an intern. Amen. Because of that day, we have $15,000 that was given towards the outdoor project. Wow. Because of that day, I can't even think of all the blessings that have come from that. I already said the church van. But do you see, isn't it better, this is what I want to say. Oh yeah, the roof, oh my goodness. If you were here back in the day, which some of us were, we used to sweat bullets over in the North Sanctuary. Like you had to hurry up and preach and call it a day and everyone be gone by 12 o'clock. Because if we weren't gone by 12 o'clock, we were roasting over there. And we had the air conditioners on and all this and that, but there was no insulation over there. It was so dang hot. And if you've got no insulation, you got no insulation. What you gonna do? Well, I'll tell you what we did. We talked to this organization that God had introduced us to that day through that man. Amen. And we said, man, can you help us out? We got this situation. And they did. Yeah, we got this beautiful roof over there that's completely insulated. That was expensive. And I could just go on and on and on. Now, let me ask you a question. Is it better that I had a relationship with my boss who knew the owner of the chair company? Or was it better that God is pursuing a relationship with me and trying to get me to understand I'm really the only relationship you need, sister? If you got it with me, you got it all. And so, was it better? See, that day, the chairs were awesome. Look at, we're all still enjoying them today, and we'll enjoy them for many years. They've been a blessing. But what was really a blessing is what happened between me and God that day. Because that happened, because I obeyed him, because I trusted him, said, okay, Lord, here goes. I feel ridiculous. This seems ridiculous. He's not going to like it, Pastor. But here I go.
I liked it.
At the end, you did. You sure enough did. So, but then I get this relationship now. That taught me. Not only did we get the chairs, and not only did we get all these blessings that if God has just used that avenue to bless us here at Hope, but I got this relationship with God that nobody will ever take from me. And so when we come, when we go to Yosemite for a vacation and we're coming home and my son has some symptoms and I'm kind of researching the symptoms or something on my phone, and I find out, oh my gosh, there's some kind of disease in the park at Yosemite that people are dying of because of some disease on the deer or something. And I'm like, what the heck? As I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, why don't they tell people this? Why do they let us just drive up in the park? Why don't they tell people that this is happening? I don't know. But it got worse and worse and worse. And we ended up in the hospital that night. You know what? With my son, because his breathing was so strained. I don't need insurance at that guy at moment, guys. We were able to go, Father, we thank you. Do you understand? When my mom got hospitalized and all that craziness, you know what? You know what I need? God, help me. What is happening here? Help me. What do I do for her? Tell me. That's what I needed. Do you understand? That moment with those chairs, my relationship with him, my obedience to him showing me, Tamara, I'm everything that you need. And don't ever think that you got a plan. You know what I mean? Because the real plan is in me. And it won't look like what you think. See, I've learned that. It doesn't look like what you think it's going to look like. I need that relationship with him. And so do you. And that's that daily. You know what he wants? He wants us that daily, depending on him, trusting in him, believing him, growing our relationship in him. And if we'll just grab that, we have everything. Who knew my son? Who knew the chairs? Who knew my mom? Who knew I could just go on and on and on? But there's one answer to all of that, and that is my just dependency on God. To whatever burdens are coming my way, to know that he's there daily with me, and he's carrying those burdens for me. And through my relationship with him, you know what? He just navigates me. Does that sound good? We have that.